Dear students, one of the very cool things of investing in real estate used to be that you couldn't check your price of your real estate investments every day on the internet or in the newspapers, but that's changed now. Yeah, one of the things about investing in stocks is people say, oh yeah, I'm in it for the long term, and then every 10 minutes they're looking at their phone or running over the computer. Well, now people who invest in real estate can do the same thing, unfortunately, in my humble opinion. There are three, big three, actually there's a couple others I think, but these are the big three. And Zillow and Trulia are actually owned by the same company. And then Redfin, I think, is actually owned by a real estate company. But Zillow and Trulia are actually internet companies. They are in the business of selling information. Now, they don't sell it to you. They sell you to the real estate agents. The real estate agents don't really like these people, but they deal with them because they have to. They don't have to, but you're interested in a particular property, or you're interested in buying, or they also do rentals, but it's mostly for buying. And so what happened, dear students, is during the great financial crisis, of the global financial crisis of 2008-09, yours truly started nosing around, because you could just go out to East Chula Vista and just wave a stick around and see just dozens of foreclosures and houses that were being left in a sad state of repair. It was a very dangerous time. So I started keeping track of all this information and using it in class, because not only was the tool becoming more powerful, but it was also a good teaching exercise for us. Now, it remembers this one. I thought I had gotten rid of all of them, but let's take a look first at the first one. Now, at the time, you could just, as I said, wave a stick around and see foreclosures galore. So I keyed on a few, and I've watched them throughout the years. Now, please don't knock on these people's doors, okay, and say, did you know Professor Piano uses them in your class? Please don't do that, because I don't know who these people are. But this is 1234 El Cortez Court. See, it knows all the addresses in the United States. And this is a development pretty close to the college, HOA. It's a condominium type, townhouse type. Now, they keep making this thing worse and worse and worse. They keep making the pictures bigger and the information smaller. So I don't know if that's a good sign or what. So notice that they say it's worth $670,900. Now, that's what they call their Z estimate or Zestimate, whatever. They don't know. They're just estimating. It's not on the market, so they don't really know. But they're looking at the transactions that are happening. Not that many transactions happen. In fact, fewer are happening now, but interest rates have gone up. And they're guessing what it's worth. Now, of course, when it actually goes on the market, right, we'll see what people offer for it. They're also estimating that you could rent the thing for $3,400. And that if you refinanced it, depending on, they don't know how much the loan is, they think it's going to be this much. And notice, if you click on this button right here, they're not going to refinance the loan for you. They're going to sell your information to companies that would bid on your business, right? And that's how they make their money. They don't charge you. They charge the advertisers and anybody they send information to. But what we're really interested in, and it gives you all kinds of information, like how much would your payments be and all this, what would you receive? And here's how they're giving up the estimate. This is a house that's similar that sold a couple months ago, and there's another one in basically the same court very close by that sold for $615 6 months ago. So that's how they're coming up. There's Telegraph Canyon Road, and over here is H Street's up here, and the college is over here. So it's close to the college. Again, I don't know who these people are. Please don't knock on their door. What we're interested in is this price and tax history. And it used to be cool. It used to be, didn't have all this garbage over here. And they used to give you a graph that was pretty neat, but they don't do that anymore. Now notice, the last time this thing sold, public record, was 385 in 2015. So whoever bought it in 2015, you know what, almost 8 years ago, did pretty well for themselves. The prices increased substantially. But what we want to go back is we want to go back into the great financial crisis and see how the price just plummeted. It was so much a destruction of wealth. Here's a listing for sale. They listed it for $385, and then a couple months later it actually sold. But now this right here is probably a sale. We don't really know. I mean, this one in 2009 is probably a sale. Somebody bought it in the depths of the... Some of these are not sales. They're actually when the bank took it over and reported the amount. It was actually... They should say foreclosure really here. But no, this is a sale. Somebody bought it in the depths of the great recession, the global financial crisis, for $250. And then probably sold it 6 years later for $385. It did pretty well. But here's what happened. In 2006, it sold for $455,000. Ouch, right? And then a year before that, or a couple years before that, it sold for $449,000. And then this right here, this is most likely a foreclosure. The bank is saying, okay, we took it over in June of 2009 because these people probably... Maybe they got an option arm and the payments just ballooned, or they just walked away from it, because I doubt very much that this sold in 2009 for $411,000. This is after prices had been plummeting. And then a few months later, they were actually able to find somebody to buy it for $250,000. So you see what happened? Somebody bought it for $455,000. And 3 years later, it sold for $250,000. So that's, almost 50% drop. And then if we go back to this complete price history, we saw that it originally sold in 2000. This is when it was brand new. These were developments were right at the turn of the century. So it sold for a little under $200,000. And then 4 years later, somebody was able to sell it for $449,000. 2 years after that, $455,000, and then sure enough, whammo. Okay, now that's typical for us. This is a little, not a bad little place. But now let's take a look at a different place. That this one really intrigues me. Where do I find it? Come on, where do I type it in? It used to be so easy. Oh, here it is, right there. Type it in there. They keep making it worse and worse. More bells and whistles and harder to use. This is a duplex that's right by the Palomar trolley stop. For those of you who know Chula Vista, this is older Chula Vista. And they're saying it's worth about $715,000. They don't know. They're just looking at comparable sales. It's not on the market. But this one really shows you the destruction, because whoever bought this at the height of the bubble, just as the bubble was starting to deflate, really just got destroyed. Notice in some of these maps, they have the old names of the nobody calls it Fruitdale anymore. But did you know Southwestern College is where Cockatoo Grove used to be? Well, it's still there, but nobody calls it Cockatoo Grove anymore. But if you look on some maps, it still says Cockatoo Grove. It's pretty wild. So what we're interested in, we're not only where this is, what we're here. Wouldn't it be great if we could get rid of all this stuff and make this bigger? I've tried. I can't do it. 2010. Okay, let's go back a little bit. Here, it goes back to 1999. Now, this house, I think, is older than 1999. It's an older neighborhood, but yeah, sure it is, because it's by the trolley. But here, this sold for $169 in 1999. 8 years later, this is going through the huge run-up of prices in housing. It sold for $570. So, look, that's just not sustainable, folks. 7 years, 237%. I forget what that rate is, but it's better than 20%. It's amazing. So what's going on here? Well, somebody, let's just, we don't know. We could go down to the county admin building and find out because it's all public record. But let's say somebody took out a loan for $500,000 and put $70,000 down. Okay, let's just say that for giggles. We don't really know, but that makes sense. That was just as the bubble started to deflate, just as prices leveled off and then started to fall. 2 years later, now this, I'm pretty sure, was not a sale. This was the bank taking over the property through a foreclosure, they walked away. We don't know what happened. But then, that's late 2009, then it sold in 2010 for $225. Ouch. Ouch. So now, do you understand what happened? Somebody put down, let's say, $70,000. That's gone. They lost their whole investment. And now they own a property that's going to sell for around $200,000, and they still owe $500,000 to the bank. So what did they do? They either walked away or they waited till the bank foreclosed because they couldn't make the payments. And now the bank has a property on their books, and they don't want to. Look, banks are not in business to be real estate companies. They want the real estate that they foreclose on sold. They want it off their hands, and they want the money back. But now they lost almost $300,000 on that loan. Do you see why Ben Bernanke, who was the Federal Reserve chairperson at the time, said, I held my nose and I wrote the check. You know, I take him at his word. I think they just said, look, if we let the banks fail, then the society fails. That's why banks have a very special, position in a modern economy, and they're not supposed to be playing games, giving loans to people who have no business having them, knowing full well, that within a few years, they're going to run out of the ability to make the payments, and this is what happened. But whoever bought this at $225, you see, in a crisis, there's an old saying that the Chinese symbol for crisis is a combination of danger and opportunity. I don't think it's true. Because the Chinese go, huh? I don't think that's right. But it's folklore in the United States that's what the symbol for crisis is in the Chinese alphabet, which has thousands of characters. So you see, okay, now that's what happened with that one. Now that's how we do it for time. Well, I'm sorry, I'm talking too long. Let's now take a look at, come on, get out of the way. Let's take a look at a more upscale place. And this is 1132. Again, don't go knocking on these people's doors. Over by, by the East Chula Vista, where by the golf court and Otay Ranch area. And so this place is on the market. No, it's not on the market. It's off the market. But their guess is about $1.5 million. So these are very hoity, very high-end areas right on the golf course, and so they thinking it's about $1.5 million. If we then scroll all the way down to where we see the history, we're going to see some little difficult understanding whether if some things were actual foreclosures or sales, but we can be pretty much sure that it sold last in 2012, as we were coming out of. We still hadn't gotten out of the woods yet, but as we were coming out of the Great Recession, the global financial crisis, somebody sold it for $651. Now notice here, somebody's trying to rent it, and notice that they tried to sell it back in 2011. I think this one is the one that 2010. I think this is where the foreclosure. I think they're trying to sell it. They can't sell it. Now they sell it. Listed for sale, and then the banks took it over because they couldn't sell it. Because what we're going to see is that just a few, here it is, see, we're trying to get rid of it, we're trying to get it off our books in 2010, we can't. In 2004, it had sold for $1.25 million. And then a few years later, somebody got in trouble, was trying to sell it for $675, Well, this is probably, you know, they're trying to sell it. They don't, they're not actually selling it. And finally, they take it over and as a foreclosure because the bank has to get rid of it somehow. And then, a couple, well, actually just 10 days later, they were able to get somebody to buy it. But look at that. Somebody paid $1.25 million and whoever made that loan, whatever down payment they had, that's gone. And the banks have lost several hundred thousand dollars. Before that, you saw it sell for $199 for 1999 for $725, and then again, this might have been a foreclosure. We don't know, but there was a bit of a drop there, and that's right before the housing market zoomed up. It started zooming in 2001, and then again, we have some strange stuff going on here. Probably, and here's what this is probably was what it, this first sale right here, 1996, sold for $410. 2 years later, somebody probably got in trouble and had to dump it, or they had to foreclose. But then quickly, well, not quickly, within the year, it sold for $600,000 right there. So I think this is a cool tool for looking up the prices of houses as they sold. I don't know that I believe their estimates that much, but hey, it's something to look at. And as I said, some people are glued to this thing. Every day they check to see what happens to their housing price. I think that's kind of a waste of time, but that it gives them pleasure. Fine. So come over here, put in your address, put in your location or a place that you're thinking of living or where you live now, and play with Zillow. And Trulia is the same company. So have fun with this tool that allows you to see or guess, estimate what real estate is worth. See ya.